Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in the epistles today in the book of 2 Corinthians. So find 2 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. I will read through these passages, take some devotional pauses, think about some application, and then close in prayer. Father, thank you for a new day and thank you for your word. Thank you for the epistles and the writings of the Apostle Paul. Father, may your Spirit help me to understand your word this morning, to know what it is that you're saying, what it means, and how to apply it to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 9. There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Take a pause here just to mention it's in the context of he's talking about giving and their generosity in giving and how they're giving to the local churches and then to him. He's able to help others. Verse 3, but I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. That seems a little bit like intimidation, but I think it's just positive peer pressure here, maybe. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised, that it will be ready as a generous gift, not as a grudgingly given. That is a good principle of giving, and Paul points that out. Verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, your hearts will go out to you. Their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the end of chapter 9. So, based on God's gift of his son, we then take what we have and we give generously. For the good of the gospel, for the good of God's people. And God uses that and blesses that. Chapter 10. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow, that's right there is a lot. Just Paul talking about his enemies and the world and their weapons of warfare. And what they can do to him, and yet what we do as Christians, how we fight back, is by taking our thoughts captive and obeying God. Verse 6, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority that God gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Verse 11, such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will be greatly expanded, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Oh, that's the end of chapter 10 and the end of our reading. Wow, that was quick. So apparently, people had been criticizing Paul, criticizing his letters. And there are other people out there that were missionaries, other people out there that were preaching the gospel, other people out there that were Christians or claimed to be. And he's trying to really focus in on the ministry that God had given him to those particular people, and wanted to make sure that they understood that his heart was pure, that he would be the same in his letters, they would be in private, in public, and that they truly cared for their spiritual growth. So, what to apply here? There's certainly some great application in the idea of giving, chapter 9. And the beginning of chapter 10, the idea of capturing thoughts. But tell you what, my thoughts for myself personally as a pastor go to chapter 10, the latter part, and just the different things that all Christians could go through this, by the way, but many missionaries, Christian organizations, pastors go through this idea of coming under fire or being compared to other people in ministry. And that happens a lot to me. I sometimes do it myself. But I think the application for me is to focus on God, to focus on His Word, to focus on the ministry I have with people, and to be real before them, and to love them enough to tell them the truth, and to be humble enough to confess my sins, and to walk humbly with God with them, and to let God determine the standards of success and how that compares to everybody else. That's really not for me to do, but to be faithful in the ministry God has given me. What do you take from these passages of Scripture to apply to your life today? Take some time to think about it and pray about it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this epistle. Thank you, Father, in particular, for the reminder to me today about just being faithful in ministry you've given me, doing what you've asked me to do with the people you've called me to at this time, and to not worry about what everybody else is doing, and to not even worry about what everybody else is thinking. Father, help me to be faithful to you. You use this ministry for your purposes and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.